So we've been doing a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study, but after talking with James and Papa, we actually are going to skip over chapter 36. Not because it's not important, but basically 36 just goes over Esau and his descendants. It's one of those so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. It's important to know where to find this lineage, but for our lessons on Sunday, we're going to skip over that. So if you want to study it on your own, chapter 36 just goes over Esau's descendants and kind of where they settled. So we're actually going to be picking up Genesis chapter 37. So James ended us last Sunday on chapter 35 in Genesis and covered like the death of Rachel and Jacob accepting his blessing and finally taking the name of Israel from God, and ended around the death of Isaac. So Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. So Jacob settled in the land of Canaan. They were all in the land of Canaan, but he settled where his father and his father's people were not at this time. So verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock and his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So Joseph was Jacob's 11th son, his firstborn son unto Rachel. And we need to remember Rachel was kind of the one that Jacob kind of preferred from the beginning, so we're going to see how there was a special bond between Jacob and Joseph. So verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. So Israel, being Jacob, remember, he's kind of showing his favoritism here, starting off towards Joseph, because once again, Joseph was the firstborn under Rachel. Rachel was who Jacob preferred. And she was barren for a while, and now that they're in their older age, they were able to conceive Joseph. And that coat of many colors is literally a coat that of different dyes and threads, because back in this time, they didn't have polyester and stuff like that. So to have something that was different colors was pretty rare during this time period. So once again, showing Jacob's favoritism to Joseph, of he awarded him a very rare piece of clothing. So verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So Jacob's favoritism unto Joseph is causing his brothers and other siblings to despise him and kind of have resentment toward him. Verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. So we're kind of seeing Joseph here having a prophetic dream come through, that they were men unto God, and he's telling his brothers, Look, I have this dream and this vision almost, and they're being biased towards him because they hated him for his relationship with their father. So they're, nope, we have resentment towards you. Verse 7. For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field. So this is talking about Joseph's dream. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shall thou indeed reign over us? So this dream representing Joseph kind of coming up from his brethren and all of his siblings kind of looking to him for guidance. Remember, we went over it before with Jacob and Esau. This culture, the firstborn son was kind of the leader. They were the one that inherited the birthright. So they already despised Joseph for their relationship with Jacob, their father. So now they're kind of, once again, showing, well, why should we reign over you? Well, let's finish verse 8 there. Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. So this is yet the third written time that says that his brothers hated him. So it's just showing that build of that hatred towards Joseph, just kind of for self-envy. They had that special bond between Joseph and Jacob that his other brothers had resentment towards. Verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren. So once again, this prophetic dream coming back. And he said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. So those 11 stars representing his other brothers. Jacob had 12 sons, which is where we get the 12 tribes of Israel, saying the sun and the moon, which were the parents at the time, that being Jacob and his wives, and then the 11 stars representing his brothers, saying this dream representing that they're to look at him and to follow him, Joseph to be that inheritance that they follow. Verse 10, and he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Jacob rebuked, meaning he kind of criticized Joseph's dreams. He was questioning it at the time. So Jacob was unaware that this is a repetitive dream. This is a repetitive vision. So this is the first time he's hearing about it. So he's questioning it. What are you talking about? What's going on? He's already explained it to his brothers twice now. Verse 11. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. So now he's had this prophetic dream of leading his people, and Joseph's brothers are now envying him, having that jealousy over him. Verse 12, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. So Jacob, being Israel, he's sending Joseph to the field where all of his brothers are feeding the flock. Verse 14, and he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. So, little geographical knowledge here, Shechem and Hebron were about 50 miles apart, separated. So this was around a five-day trip, roughly, on foot. So this is actually a pretty good journey that Jacob's sending Joseph on of, go give word to your brethren. Well, this is going to be about a week. So just one way. So this isn't just I'm going to run down the street real quick. Verse 15. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field, he being Joseph. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? So this unknown man found Joseph wandering in the field and asked what he's searching for. And this man not being named is kind of leaving an assumption of whether or not this could be the same man that Jacob wrestled with back in chapter 32. And it actually turned out that man being a divine being of God. So I kind of read this as a God sending himself down divine to kind of guide Joseph, and, you know, you're wandering, you're lost, let me seek you. Kind of same thing we've seen with Jacob. So verse 16. And he said, I seek my brethren, tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. So Dothan being roughly 15 miles north of Shechem. So another 15 miles to that journey. Verse 18. And when they saw him afar, his brothers saw Joseph from afar, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. So his brothers are already talking about taking him out. They're away from their native people. They're away from their father. And they see Joseph from afar, and that buildup of hate. They're already talking about slaying him. All that self-envy and greed. Verse 19. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. So kind of making a smart comment. Look at this dreamer. He's coming in now. Verse 20. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will come of his dreams. So pretty self-explanatory here. They're conjuring up a plan to take Joseph out, and trying to cover it up, make it look like a bee stayed him, and making the smart comment of, well, let's see what his dreams portray now, because his dreams are saying they're supposed to follow him and him lead. Well, if he's dead, how can his dreams come true? Verse 21, or his visions, let me say it that way. Verse 21, and Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. So Reuben is the oldest here, the oldest of the brothers. And as we know, the firstborn of Jacob, that firstborn has that birthright. So he's kind of like the leader of the brothers at this time. So he's like, look, let's take a step back. Let's not kill him, because he knows that if something happens in the field and he's the leader of the brothers at this time, he's the one that's going to get questioned to the death. Verse 22. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands and deliver him to his fathers again. So the pit, what are they talking about here? Back in this time, these pits were almost like water containers. We can compare them to like a water tower. It's where it was this big vessel that just held water for people come through, for towns, stuff like that. So they're talking about throwing him in the pit and then just letting him be. Whatever happens, happens. So, verse 23. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. So they stripped away that rare coat he had. And like we talked about, it was rare for them to have different dyes and colors back then. So they're stripping him of his clothes. Well, this coat's going to be pretty easily identifiable back then. This was probably custom made, one of one. So verse 24. And they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. So this big empty vessel, he's now trapped in this pit. But they didn't kill him. They just cast him in the pit. Verse 25. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. So the Ishmaelites, if we remember, Ishmaelites were the descendants and people of Ishmael, which was Isaac's half-brother, so Joseph's great-uncle. These were his people. And we're going to dig a little bit further into that here in a minute. Verse 26. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? So Judah was the fourth oldest son of the 12 sons of Israel, of Jacob. So once again, one of the eldest, kind of taking charge here, questioning their plan. Verse 27. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. So he's saying, instead of us killing him, let's just sell him. After all, he is our brother, but we want him gone. Let's not shed his blood. We just want him gone. And they were all kind of in agreement. Verse 28. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. So Midianites were the descendants of Midian, right? The Ishmaelites were the descendants of Ishmael. So Ishmael was the son of Abraham and Sarah, and Midian was the son of Abraham and Keturah. So these two men that these descendants were from were half-brothers. So actually, up until this morning, after studying with James and Papa here, I was questioning this of, okay, so was it the Midianites or the Ishmaelites that they sold Joseph to that got him out of the pit? Well, looking back, let me scroll down. So the Midianites, we're going to see, end up selling him to Egypt unto Potiphar. And the Midianites were sort of absorbed by the Ishmaelites. So the Ishmaelites and the Midianites were both Arab, okay? But the Midianites were absorbed under Ishmaelites to make like a trade party, a trade company to Egypt. And they were all Arabs, so not all Ishmaelites were Midianites, but all Midianites were Ishmaelites because they were absorbed, right? So I just wanted to get that clear because I was stumped up for a while on that of, okay, so who sold them? Who bought them? And reading commentaries and stuff, it was, well, this story was passed down from generation to generation, so it could have been either one. Like we talked about, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. If you study and go deeper, the Midianites were just absorbed by the Ishmaelites. They were the same people. So anyway, verse 29. I thought that was an interesting fact because it little things like that can stump you up. Verse 29. And Reuben turned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. So that word rent in Hebrew translates to revile or to tear out, not he rented out his rare clothing. So Reuben going back and seeing Joseph is gone, he's trying to make it look like Joseph's dead. He's shredding up that coat that they stripped him of. Verse 30. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. So they took his clothes and they mauled them all up and now soaked them in blood, trying to further enhance the image that Joseph was killed or dead. So verse 32. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found, know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. So like we talked about, this coat was most likely a one-on-one. It was a rare item that was gifted to Joseph, and his brothers are kind of playing ignorant here to their father. They take the coat back to Jacob, and they're, I'm not sure, I think this is Joseph's coat. They know good and well it is, and we can see that Jacob notices it immediately. So they're kind of playing their ignorance, try to further enhance the idea that they didn't know what happened to Joseph. So verse 33, and he knew it and said, it is my son's coat, an evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. So they did a pretty good job here of creating that image that Joseph was attacked or was killed. Verse 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. So Jacob basically took what was left of Joseph's clothes, cleaned them up the best he could, and kind of kept them as a remembrance unto Joseph as his mourning. So once again, this coat was pretty symbolic for their relationship together. It was a one of one, and now it's being used as a mourning or remembrance piece. Verse 35, and all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, for I will go down unto the grave, unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. So Jacob's in a pretty bad state of mind here, mourning over Joseph. Remember, they had that special bond between each other. Verse 36, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. So once again, those Midianites and Ishmaelites were absorbed under one trading company, under one people, in order to trade with Egypt. So when you read this chapter and it goes back and forth, just remember they were the same people. They were absorbed together. So something I want to look at, we always try to read through chapters and see how can we apply this to our lives. But really this chapter is explaining what should we not apply to our lives. So look at Joseph's brothers and all the envy and pride and arrogance they had unto Joseph. He's having these visions. He has a special bond with his father who has that covenant with God passed down from Abraham. And he's having these visions, these dreams of him leading his people, him getting that birthright, so to speak. And his brothers are tearing him down, literally were planning on killing him, and then ended up selling him as a slave. So as the body of Christ, as us children of God, you know, it's easy to have that keeping up with the Joneses image and that self-envy and, well, look what they have. But we're all family under Christ, so we have to remember that we should be building each other up, not tearing each other down. whether you're blood family or not, we're all family under Christ. So really we should read this chapter as how not to apply that self-envy and that arrogance to our lives, especially someone who's trying to further their journey with God and with Christ, their path that they're on. We should be building them up and helping them and being that seed along their way to help boost them up.